Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's that time of the week again where we share some football archaeology from Timothy P. Brown, a historian and author of some great books and the founder of footballarchaeology.com, as he shares one of the great stories of a defensive scoring and a first that's ever happened, coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we try to do every week, we're going to touch base with Timothy Brown, the author and gridiron historian that has the footballarchaeology.com website. And he has his daily tidbits where he tells us some great information, football that's just a quick little read that you can enjoy each day. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, thank you, Darren. Looking forward to chatting again.
Yeah. Tim, before we get going into the tidbit topic, maybe you could give us like a dust cover version of one of my favorite books, and you authored it, How Football Became Football the First 150 Years. You know, what exactly is the book about and its intent?
So, you know, I guess it starts with my looking at football broadly. You know, I think most of the books that I've read, and I've read a lot of books on football history, most of them are either pretty kind of academically oriented, or they're about one team or about one game or one player. And so I just wanted to put together cover kind of the totality of the game. So it's not just the game on the field. It's the coaches, it's officiating, it's the nature of the player equipment, the fan experience. So I try to bring all of that together and kind of show the progression of the way the game evolved in each of those dimensions. And, you know, so I cover, you know, things you would expect. So, you know, you'll read about John Heisman, Walter Camp, and Paul Brown, but, you know, you also will come across people like Frank Birch and John Lockney and other people you maybe never have heard of, but they've affected the game, and the game that you know today wouldn't be the same game without them. So, and hopefully, you know, I try to add a little dash of humor or kind of dad puns and those kinds of things in there. And, you know, hopefully it works. If it doesn't, I apologize.
But I can attest to it. You know, folks, if you don't have a copy of that book, get one right away. You know, go to Amazon and some of the other, I'm sure you have other places that you can buy it also. But the book is so relatable. I know you mentioned four groups of people, you know, the fans, the coaches, the players, and the officials. Well, I can relate to three of those. I was never a coach, but the other three, I was all of them and still am a fan. And it was so interesting because you took sort of that, you know, period by period approach, and you told about the evolving of each of those, you know, how the officiating evolved, how the players evolved, how the rules evolved, how coaches evolved to all the rules. And it's just such an interesting story. And it is really one of the most in-depth books I've ever seen on early football. So my hat's off to you. It's very well done.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Tim, I noticed though one of your latest tidbits you had back in April 26, you talked about football's first scoop and score. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, so this is one of those where, you know, some of the things I write about are things I just kind of happened upon, you know, and they're actually some of the, to me, the ones that are most fun. But, you know, I was doing some research, trying to find certain articles on a certain topic. And I was looking for the origins of the word fumble. You know, when did that first come up? And, in football in the newspaper. And so it was this game. So it was a game in 1882 between Princeton and Lafayette. And so somewhere in the game, Lafayette was running with the ball. They dropped it. And this guy named T.H. Harris, who was played on for Princeton for a couple of years, picked up the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. Went like, you know, it basically just said, you know, that he ran the better part of the field. So for in my, as far as I can tell, this was the first recorded fumble. And it was also the first scoop and score. So I just, you know, thought that's kind of a cool little story. And they didn't call it a scoop and score, that came later, but it was, you know, so it was the first fumble that's mentioned in the newspaper. And so then the question is why, you know, why did it take that long? I mean, the game was a couple, you know, 6 years old at that point, but so, you know, I mean, you know, my best, you know, educated guess at it is that the game, well, so, you know, it's probably, you know, two things going on. One is that the there'd been a significant change in the points scored the previous year, or in 1882, how they calculated who won the game. And then there was also a significant rule change in terms of the introduction of the scrimmage.
So as far as having possession is what you're saying for that rule.
Yeah. So it was, so, you know, football came from rugby and everybody knows that, but again, this is one of these places where we can emphasize early on football was rugby. It was rugby. And then in 1882, it had some things go on in games in 1880 and 81 that, you know, made the game pretty boring. So, so they changed the rules. So there was a whoever had the ball would keep the ball for three downs. And if they could gain 5 yards, they could keep it for another three downs. So 82 was the first year where we had what they're called the rule of possession. Until then, if somebody dropped the ball, just like they do in rugby today, somebody drops the ball, somebody falls on it, then you have a scrum. And you know, the scrum determines who gets possession of the ball. Whereas with the scrimmage, now a team retained possession. And so I think it was just a bigger deal for a team to, you know, maybe they talked about fumbles before 82. We know they did in 82. And I think it was just that they, because they retained possession, fumbling and turning it over to the other team, meant you screwed up and it was a loss of possession, you know, and it wasn't like you didn't put it in scrum anymore. You know, you just plain old lost the ball and that was it. So now the other team was on offense.
Yeah, that's pretty high watermark for that period of time. If you sit there and think about it, what you're describing is you had a point change in 1982, you know, shortly before this game started. This is one of the first games that was played under those rules. You had the possession of changing, and you had down and distance introduced to the game. So those are pretty dramatic changes that really set football apart from rugby at the time, you're saying.
Yeah, so those are the kinds of things, like, you know, I'm not positive about the scoring, but the other two, those are Walter Camp's ideas. Yeah, so when it's among the things that when they say he's the father of football, well, that's an example.
Yeah, most definitely. And I was doing some research on this, I was looking at Princeton's games from the season prior to that, and the scores were all like 1-0 and, you know, 3-1. You know, it's more like soccer scores. The score of this game, I don't know if we said it, but the score of this Lafayette game was 54-7 in favor of Princeton. And they had some other games that were like 60-0 and, you know, some games of, you know, blowouts, what we would call today in college football. So definitely a big difference for people that are watching football from 1 year to the next. It's night and day.
Yeah. So, I mean, before 82, the scoring was, people call it the, you know, equivalency scoring, because it was just really, there were some odd combinations, but basically you could, you scored by kicking a goal, and you could kick a goal. There are basically two ways to kick a goal. One was kicking a goal from field, very similar to what we consider a field goal today. I mean, you know, you kicked it from scrimmage, you know, a scrimmage play. You kicked it, though they typically drop kicked it at the time. And if you got 1 point. You could also score a goal after scoring a touchdown. So back then, or originally, you know, until 82, you didn't get any points or anything for scoring a touchdown. What a touchdown did for you is it gave you a free kick to score a goal. So, if you had the chance, you're better. Like if you're on the 5 yard line, you're better off trying to score a touchdown so you get a free kick for a goal rather than a attempt a contested scrimmage kick.
Oh, okay.
And so then there was, but then they still kind of wanted to give a certain amount of credit for those who got touchdowns but missed the goal. So they had this thing that where like a touchdown was basically a quarter of a goal. So the scoring was just kind of goofy. But so you basically won or lost based on number of goals. If the teams were tied in terms of how many goals they had scored, then they looked at how many touchdowns. You know, if one team had more touchdowns than the other, and then that team would have won.
What a philosophical difference to what we look at today. That's for sure. So, well, it's a great story of the evolution of scoring in football, and we appreciate you sharing this with us. I want you to let the folks know how they can get these daily tidbits in their inbox each day or where to find them elsewhere.
Yeah, so, the best way, if you're interested in this stuff, go to www.footballarchaeology.com. And just subscribe. You can subscribe for free. You can do paid subscriptions that give you some additional benefits. Some of what I write is available only to paid subscribers, but the tidbits are all free, as well as most of my articles. And you can also follow me on Twitter or on Facebook. But basically the value of subscribing is you get it in your inbox every day, so you never miss a beat.
All right. And we will have those links where you can find Tim and Football Archaeology and his articles and his tidbits in the show notes of this very podcast and on pigskindispatch.com in the accompanying article. So, Tim, thank you once again, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Cool. Thanks much, Darren.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.